had your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open them to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we'll pick up in verse 13, and we'll study through verse 25 this morning. Last week, we began Acts chapter 13. At the beginning of the chapter, we saw Paul and Barnabas called to go on their first missionary journey. And so they were sent out by the church in Antioch. And we talked about how in the big picture, Paul and Barnabas were called to be missionaries and how not every one of us is called to be a missionary. However, on this missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas simply fulfilled three basic callings given to every Christian. The calling to live out the gospel, the calling to share the gospel, and the calling to defend the gospel. That's what Paul and Barnabas did as they started their journey. And now we pick up in verse 13, and we see them continuing on this missionary journey. Let's read this together, beginning at verse 13. The Word of God says, "Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them, saying, 'Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it.'" Last week in Acts chapter 13, we saw that in their missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas were going to the synagogues, proclaiming the word of God to the Jewish people and their religious leaders. And this is exactly what happens. We get a close-up view, if you will, a more detailed look at what went on in these synagogues. And so they show up to this particular synagogue, and it was customary in the synagogue to read from the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, and the prophets, the books at the very end of the Old Testament. And they would divide the law into 52 sections and the prophets into 52 sections so that every week they would read one of these selections. And through the course of the year, if you came to the synagogue every Sabbath as you were supposed to, you would hear from every portion of both the law and the prophets. And so this is what they did in the synagogue. And at some point while this reading was going on, they must have recognized that Paul and Barnabas were not typical people in the assembly. They were strangers to this area. And we don't know exactly why they called on Paul and Barnabas and gave them the invitation that we see in verse 15. But the invitation from the rulers of the synagogue is, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it." This word encouragement in the Greek can be translated as help, consolation, comfort, or as it is in my translation, encouragement. They call on Paul and Barnabas to stand up if they would like and speak to the assembly and present them with a word of help, a word of comfort, a word of encouragement. And how fitting this is for us today to see this invitation, this call given to Paul and Barnabas from Scripture. How fitting on a day like this when we know there are so many people right now in our community that are desperately looking for hope and encouragement. Here's what we need to understand about this passage, about this invitation. As I said, it was customary for them to read from the law and the prophets in the synagogue every Sabbath. It was also customary for them to have some kind of teaching, much like we do on Sunday mornings. It was customary for them to have some kind of teaching after the law and the prophets were read from. And what was customary was not that any person would get up and say whatever they would like, but that whoever was called on to speak and teach on that Sabbath day was to speak and teach from either the law or the prophets that had been written or read that day to the assembly. So when they gave this invitation to Paul and Barnabas, this was not an invitation to stand up and just say whatever you'd like. This was an invitation to provide encouragement and help and comfort for these people from the Word of God. And here's what we take from that this morning. If you have your outline in front of you, point number one on your outline is that true encouragement is found in Scripture. True encouragement is found in Scripture. And as we talk about this particular circumstance and make application for the moment that we find ourselves in as a church and as a community, we know that there are so many people right now who need to be encouraged, who need help, who need comfort in this time. Church, we need to recognize that it's our responsibility to point them to the Word of God. It is the responsibility of the church to find those who are in desperate need of consolation and hope and point them to the encouragement that we find in Scripture. A moment ago, we prayed and we asked God to show us how, as believers, how, as a church family, we might provide help to those in our community who need it so severely right now. This may be a question that you've wondered yourself over the past couple of days. What could I possibly do for this family? What could I do for their loved ones? God, show me what it is that I could do. And over the next few days, the next couple of weeks, next couple of months, there may be several of us that have an opportunity to minister to physical needs that this family has, that their loved ones have. But we may not all have that opportunity. How can we help these people? What's our responsibility as the church? It is to recognize that the hope, the comfort, the peace, the encouragement that these people so desperately need can only be found in Christ. That's our responsibility right now, church. This is what we see in this passage. As they called on Paul and Barnabas and gave them the invitation, we see in verse 16 that Paul is the one who stands up and begins talking and motions with his hand. Paul is the one who's going to present this word of encouragement, this message from Scripture. But what we need to understand is that Paul's message of encouragement for the people was not opinion-based. Paul's word of encouragement was not a message that was political. Paul's word of encouragement was not a message that was about social justice. His message was not filled with empty platitudes or cliches. Paul's word of encouragement to the people was deeply rooted in the Word of God. Paul's word of encouragement was designed to specifically show them from Scripture who their Savior was, in whom they could find salvation, in whom they could find comfort, in whom they could find rest and encouragement. How can we help those who are hurting in our community right now? Well, we need to recognize what they actually need is Christ. The greatest help that any of us as believers could be right now is to take the gospel that we claim to believe, take it out from under the bushel, that light that is the gospel, the truth of the gospel, the hope of the gospel that we have, to make sure that we don't keep it to ourselves, but that we take it out of this building into our community, that we seek out the people who are hurting right now. Because in a town and a community the size of ours, we know who that is. We know the family. We know the extended family. We know the close friends. We know the social circle that is most affected by this tragedy. So if we want to help, then we need to take the light of the gospel, the light of the world. We need not hide it under a bushel, but we need to take it out, and we need to walk it out of this building, and we need to find those who need it. We need to find those who are lost and without hope in this situation, those who cannot find any comfort because it can only be found in Christ. We need to find those people, church. There might be multiple ways that you could help those people in our community right now. But there is nothing that you could ever do for them that's more important than sharing the gospel with them and calling them to trust in Christ for salvation. True encouragement is found in Scripture. It's found in the Word of God. It's found in the gospel that is revealed on the pages of Scripture. And church, if we were serious about helping these people, then we must do more than have a prayer time in this service. We must do more than leave comments on social media or post pictures. We must do more than simply say, we're praying for you. We have the light. We have the hope. We have the encouragement that they need. We have the message of salvation that they need. We have the only answer to the problem they're facing right now. The question is, will we be bold enough, courageous enough, faithful enough to share that message with the people who need it the most right now? We continue and we read this passage, and Paul begins this message. The message goes through verse 41. That's way too much for us to study together this morning. That's why we're stopping at verse 25. But in just the beginning of this message, we're going to see the two ways that Scripture provides true encouragement and help to those who need it. Paul begins his message in verse 17 and says, "The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt." So God chose the people of Israel. He made the people great. And we know that once they got into Egypt for a time of several hundred years, they were slaves in Egypt. But Paul continues and says, "And with uplifted arm, he led them out of Egypt." God delivered the people. God saved the people from their bondage. And for about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. God dealt with, carried, put up with this sinful people. But while they were in the wilderness, God provided for them along the way. He protected them along the way. He was faithful to them along the way. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. So by the grace of God, the stiff-necked, sinful people received the promised land as an inheritance. They were delivered from their bondage. They were provided for despite their sinfulness, despite their flaws and imperfections. God was faithful to them. God delivered them. God saved them. And he gave them an inheritance that they did not deserve. All this took about 450 years. And after that, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. And in the time of Judges, the people continued to struggle with sin, to go back and forth between sin and repentance. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin for 40 years. And we know that Saul was not faithful, and he did not lead the people of Israel faithfully. Verse 22 says, "When he, God, had removed him, he raised up David to be the king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will.'" So Paul begins this message by walking through centuries and centuries of Old Testament history. And many scholars believe that Paul is talking about a lot of what was read in the synagogue from the Law and the Prophets. Why is he going through so much history? Why is he going through such a big period of time, so many different events? It's because in all of this, Paul is reminding the people that throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, we see a pattern of God saving people by his grace, delivering them, preserving them, protecting them. And all of this is pointing ultimately to one thing. And we see that in verse 23. Talking about David, Paul says, "Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised." You see, everything that Paul talks about before is pointing to verse 23. And everything that we see in Scripture, all of these events that we find in Scripture, they're all demonstrating God's message of salvation. They're demonstrating the gospel. They're pointing us to the Savior who was sent by God, provided for sinners. Number two on your outline. We know that true encouragement is found in Scripture. So number two, Scripture encourages us with the message of salvation. Why is the Word of God what our community so desperately needs right now? It's because the Word of God is what reveals to us how we might be saved of our sins, reconciled to God, and have eternal life through faith in Christ. And all of Scripture is communicating this message of salvation. All of Scripture is pointing us to the Savior. Paul talks about the people in Egypt and how God saved them, delivered them, Paul talks about their time in the wilderness. Why would Paul talk about their time in the wilderness? Why is that relevant? Do you remember what God provided for them as they wandered around the wilderness? Gave them manna. It's often called bread from heaven because that's exactly what it was. But what's the significance of the bread from heaven? That manna, that bread from heaven that was given to the Israelites in the wilderness is pointing us to the bread of life. Jesus Christ. John chapter 6. The bread of life was sent to provide, maintain, and preserve eternal life for all who would trust in Him. Why does Paul talk about David? Why does he reference 1 Samuel and those events? Remember David. Paul talks about him as the king, but how did David start? Before David was king, he was just a little shepherd boy. And of course, when David was a little shepherd boy, he walked out onto the battlefield with the people of Israel cowering in fear. And while our temptation is to read the story of David and Goliath and find out how we fit into that story and make ourselves like David and say that we can defeat our Goliath, that's not what the story is about. Why does Paul talk about David? It's because Paul is pointing the people to Christ. And when that little shepherd boy stepped on the battlefield, and he stood face to face with that Goliath, that giant that the people could not slay on their own, he was foreshadowing the good shepherd in John chapter 10, Jesus Christ, who would fight a battle against the giant of sin. And the way that Christ won the battle was to lay down his life for the sheep, which is why he said the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The manna in the wilderness is pointing us to Christ. David, the shepherd boy turned king, is pointing us to the good shepherd who is now Lord of Lords, the good shepherd who came to die so that we could have life, the good shepherd who laid down his life on the cross and paid the price for sins so that we could have forgiveness and mercy and grace, that same good shepherd who would take up his life on the third day and be resurrected from the grave. The same good shepherd who, after 40 days on earth, ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he belongs. That same good shepherd whom Philippians chapter 2 says, he is the name above all names, the Lord of Lords, and that before him one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. The shepherd boy turned king is pointing to the good shepherd who is the Lord of Lords. Why does all this matter? It matters because all of Scripture is pointing us to the Savior who died so that you and I, sinners like you and I, could have life. God gave us His Word so that it might reveal the gospel to us, so that in His Word we might find the Savior that has provided eternal life through His life, death, and resurrection for all who call on Him in faith. This is the message that our community needs. It is the message of the gospel. It is the message of the Savior. Friends, there is nothing else that is going to provide the help that they need. I know that there will likely be many people who provide for their physical, their material needs. Many people will make them food, different things like that. Many people will provide for their needs in other ways. And we should do that as believers. We should. But we also need to recognize that the food we provide, while it provides help in the temporary, in this life, the food we provide does not provide the help that their soul is needing right now. What they need more than anything is Christ. So, church family, what we need to do is we need to take Christ to them. Look again through this passage. Look at the way that Paul speaks all of this, the words that he uses. The God of this people, Israel, verse 17, chose our fathers. So God chose the people of Israel and made the people great. God did that. With uplifted arm, He, God, led them out of Egypt. And for 40 years, He, God, put up with them in the wilderness. We've read two verses of this message, and already we've seen God do four things for His people. After destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, there's five. He gave them their land as an inheritance. There's six. And then we have the period of the judges. We have the period where Saul is king. In verse 22, when he had removed Saul, he raised up David, a faithful king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. We're up to seven. He says in verse 23, of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he comes. And these short few verses, Paul has illustrated and explained eight different things that God has done for his people. Paul has shown the power of God, the provision of God, the protection of God, the deliverance of God for his people. He's shown the salvation that God has provided for his people. And there are three words at the end of verse 23 that are so important. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. We might know and understand that the gospel is the true hope, encouragement, and comfort that we all need right now, that our community needs right now. But why? Why does it provide encouragement? Why does it provide comfort for us? Number three on your outline, Scripture encourages us with the character of God. There's three words at the end of verse 23, as he promised. That's what makes the gospel a message of hope. Because the gospel, our salvation through faith in Christ, is not about who we are. It's not about what we've done. It's not about anything that has to do with us at all. It's all about God and who He is. Paul shows that God provided for, protected, and delivered His people from Egypt all the way to the Promised Land. God did those things. It was not the people. They didn't do it for themselves. God did it for them. God provided Jesus to be the Savior that would deliver people from their sins, the good shepherd that would lay down his life for the sheep, the bread of life, the one who would provide living water. God provided that for us. We had nothing to do with it. And see, this is the encouragement of the gospel. This is the encouragement of our salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The encouragement is made possible and maintained by the character of God, not the character of the person. That's what's so encouraging. Salvation through faith in Christ is about who God is. It's not about who you are. It's not about what your past looks like. It's not about what your present looks like. It's not going to be about you in the future. It is about the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the power of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. Our encouragement through Christ is only possible because of the character of God. And the good news is, it has nothing to do with who we are. And when we finally learn to trust that our salvation is completely dependent on who God is and what He has done for us through Christ, a weight is lifted off our shoulders. When we finally understand that, when we finally trust in that, when we finally recognize that, our eternity is not dependent on anything that we could do, but it's solely dependent on who God is and what Christ has done for us on the cross. We don't feel like we have to earn our salvation anymore. We no longer feel like we have to be good enough, and that's where we find freedom in Christ. That's where we find comfort. That's where we find hope. That's where we find peace. It is understanding that salvation is the free gift that God has provided by His grace. And He has provided it by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our place, to pay the price for our sins, He takes the punishment. We walk away free through faith in Him. What a beautiful, beautiful message that so many people in our community need to hear. What a beautiful help that so many people need right now. The question is, will we be faithful to bring it to them? Will we be faithful as a church to point our community to the Savior in this time? Will we be faithful to bring the gospel? To share that light that we have, that light that we have celebrated this morning? Will we be bold enough to point them to Christ? Our hope and encouragement through every situation is that God is faithful to save all who come to Him through faith in Christ. That's the hope and encouragement that our community needs. That's the hope and encouragement that maybe some right here in this room need right now. See, the first question that we need to ask ourselves this morning is, have we found our hope through faith in God? When you walk out of here this morning, will you walk out with eternal life and salvation through faith in Christ? Will you walk out with a hope and a peace and a comfort and joy that are provided to you by the grace of God that transcend all understanding? God's grace is provided. If you will trust in Christ for salvation, that life, that hope, that peace, that joy will go with you right out of this one. Have you trusted in Christ? Have you found rest in the Savior? The one who said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you found that rest in Christ? Maybe that's what you need this morning. Maybe you would say, Pastor, I need the help, I need the encouragement, I need the peace, I need the salvation that you've been talking about. Pastor, I need the gospel. Friend, if that's you, repent of your sins and trust in Christ today. And you will find the help that you need, the rest that you need, the encouragement that you need. Don't leave here today without that. Don't leave here today without Christ. It's the first question that we need to study. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Here's the second question that we need to settle as a church. Are we serious about providing help to our community? God's Word tells us there's more to our existence than the pain and suffering of this life here on earth. And even though we are sinners deserving nothing more than God's wrath, we can have true eternal life by trusting in Christ's death and resurrection for salvation. True hope and true encouragement comes through Christ and Christ alone. Will we as a church communicate that message our community? Will we be faithful to help them? Will we be bold enough to help them? Will we be courageous enough to help them? Dare I say, will we care about these people enough to take the gospel to them? Do we love these people enough to take the gospel to them? Do we love this community enough to share the gospel? Really is the question, isn't it? Friends, it's very plain and very clear. The answer that our community needs right now is Christ. But how will they know that answer? Unless we tell them where to find it. How will they have that hope unless we show them the way? How can they be saved? They don't hear the gospel. And how will they hear the gospel, church, if we are not sharing the gospel? The question today as we leave the room is, will we love our community enough to point them to the Savior? Let's pray together. God, you are so, so gracious. You are so good to us. Father, we've spent several minutes just being reminded of who you are, your perfect character. We've spent several minutes reminded of all you have done to provide salvation for sinners like us. God, you sent Christ. And Christ died on the cross as a sacrifice for sin, paying the price for sin, taking the penalty for sin on himself. Lord, we understand that he did that in our place. He paid our price, paid our penalty. So that through faith in him, we could be saved. We could be forgiven of our sins. And we could have eternal life. Father, what a beautiful message that is, that you provided eternal life for us through Christ. Even deeper than that, Father, we know that through faith in Christ, through the eternal life that we have, we always have something to hope for. We can always take comfort in Christ. Because your word tells us that the weight of the suffering and the affliction that we face in this life cannot compare to the glory that's going to be revealed to us in eternity. Father, we know that no matter how bad things get in this life, on this earth, there is always something better waiting for us in Christ. Father, we thank you for providing that for us by your grace. And Father, I pray for anyone who walked in the door this morning without that hope, without that peace, without salvation through faith in Christ. Anyone who walked through the door, Father, dead in sins, not knowing where to turn, but as they've heard the gospel this morning, God, I pray that you have stirred their heart. And I pray that you will save them this morning through faith in Christ, that they will trust in him as their Savior, that they would find in him the encouragement, the help, the comfort that they need right now. And not just right now, but for all of life and for all of eternity. Father, thank you for what you've done for us through Christ. Father, help us as believers, help us as a church family to recognize the most important need that our community has right now. Lord, help us to understand that the only solution for that need is Christ. God, help us to be faithful, to take the gospel to so many people who are devastated right now, who are heartbroken, who are grieving, who are mourning, who are wondering, is there anything more than this? Help us to point them to the Savior. Help us to share the gospel. Give us opportunities, Lord. And help us to be faithful to point people to the help that they can find only in Christ. The solution to the greatest need that they have. God, again, we praise you for who you are. We pray all this in